We have chanted already Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, so we can go immediately to the verse. I think it is 72. Yes, no? 71. That was yesterday. Acha. So you just, we just try, no? We are, this was yesterday. So, idam. Aha. Purasmakam Bhagavan Visvasri Patihi Prigvadinam Atmajanam Sisrikshuh Samsiks Srikshaktam Srikshakam Idam Aha Purasmakam Idam Aha Purasmakam Bhagavan Vishvashrik Patihi Vishvashrik Patihi Brikvadinam Atmajanam Brikvadinam Atmajanam Sisrikshu Sam Sisrikshaktam Sisrikshu Sam Sisrikshaktam. Wonderful. Somehow we can do more than we think we can. Isn't it? And when we are thrown into cold water, they say, there's a new situation, all of a sudden we find out, my God. Idam aha purasmakam, idam aha purasmakam, Bhagavan Vishvashrik Pati. Brikvadinam Atmajanam Sisrikshu Sam Srisrikshatam Sam Srisrikshatam. Who would like to chant it by heart? Paravatma Krishna, you are certainly a Brahmin. I also would have no idea how to do it. So, idam, this, aha, said, pura, formally, asmakam, unto us, Bhagavan, the Lord, Vishvashrik, the creators of the universe. Patihi, Master, Brigvadinam, of the great sages headed by Brigo, Atmajanam, of his sons, Sisrikshuh, desirous of creating. Sangsisrikshatam, who are in charge of creation. This prayer . It's the Shiva Gita, the chanting the sung song by Lord Shiva. It's called also Shiva Gita. This prayer was first spoken to us by Lord Brahma, the master of all creators, The creators, headed by Bhrigu, were instructed in these prayers because they wanted to create. Purport. Lord Brahma was created by Lord Vishnu. Then Lord Brahma created Lord Shiva and other great sages, headed by Bhrigu Muni. These great sages included Bhrigu, Marichi, Atreya, Vashishta, and others. All these great sages were in charge of creating population. Since there were not very many living entities in the beginning, Vishnu entrusted Brahma with the business of creation. And Brahma, in his turn, created many hundreds and thousands of demigods and great sages to continue with the creation. So Brahma had created many demigods and sages for what? For helping him to create. Yeah? So you can imagine Lord Brahma sitting with all the sages and the demigods, and he tells them what is important. He says, at that time, Lord Brahma cautioned all his sons and disciples by reciting the prayers now recited by Lord Shiva. The material creation means material engagement, but material engagements can be counteracted if we always remember our relationship with the Lord, as that relationship is described in these prayers recited by Lord Shiva. In this way, we can remain constantly in touch with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thus, despite our engagement in the creation, we cannot be deviated from the path of Krishna consciousness. The Krishna consciousness movement is especially meant for this purpose. In this material world, everyone is engaged in some particular occupational duty which is prescribed in the Varnashram Dharma. Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, Shudras, and everyone are engaged in their occupational duty. But if one remembers his first duty, keeping in constant contact with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, everything will be successful. If one simply executes the rules and regulations of the Varnashram Dharma, the role of a Brahmana, a Kshatriya, Vaishya, or Shudra, and keeps busy and does not remember one's eternal relationship with the Lord, one's business and activities, as well as occupational duties, will simply be a waste of time. This is confirmed in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Dharma svanushtita pungsam vishvakshena katasuya notpadayat yadiratim shrama eva hi kevalam. The conclusion is that even if one is busy executing his occupational duty, his business and Krishna consciousness need not be hampered. He is simply to execute the devotional service of Shravanam Kirtanam, hearing, chanting, and remembering. One need not abandon his occupational duty. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, Yata pravitti bhutanam yena savam idam tatam svakarmana tam abhyarcha siddhim vindanti manavaha. By worship of the Lord, who who is the source of all beings and who is all-pervading, man can, in the performance of his own duty, attain perfection. Thus, one can continue with his occupational duty, but if he worships the Supreme Personality of Godhead as Lord Shiva herein prescribes, he attains his perfection of life. Svanustitasya dharmasya sangsidhir haritoshanam. We should continue executing our occupational duties, but if we try to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead by our duties, then our lives will be perfected. Please chant with me. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pishtaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharine Nirvishesha Sunyavari Paskajare Sadarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. Before I explain something in relationship to this lecture, I want to welcome all of you who are not living in Goloka Dham. I think some of you have attended the excellent leadership and management course of my exalted God brother Anuttama Prabhu, and others have maybe just now come to attend the Kirtan Mela, which starts this evening. Welcome, 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 and also in my name. I'm very happy to spend now 4 days with all of you, and more or less following the instruction of this very important verse. This verse repeats in more detail Krishna's instruction to Arjuna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. You remember, Arjuna wanted to renounce actions. He wanted to. He was unsure if he should really participate in the battle of Kurukshetra, which would demand of him to engage in something which, as a devotee, he did not appreciate, battle. But Krishna told him, you fight, but at the same time think of me as Krishna. And this verse also makes a similar point. It says, it describes a meeting where Brahma told the same thing to the devatas and the rishis which he had created to assist him in the creation. He said, you do this, you do the creation, you do your occupational duty, but you must be careful. He cautioned them, Prabhupada writes, if you are not in contact with Krishna, there might be the problem that you become entangled and overwhelmed by creation, which is an activity in the mode of passion. Passion might create a great obstacle for you in your spiritual life, and thus you will lose the whole point of your very existence, that is to be connected with Krishna always. So now Krishna had told Arjuna the way to do this, to remain like a lotus flower in the water, not touched or untouched by the environment, the way to remain untouched by our activities is to think of Krishna. That's what Krishna said to Arjuna. Now Brahma makes this a little, takes this one step further. He says, yes, remain connected with Krishna, but how to do this? By chanting this very ancient prayer, which Shiva learned at that time. He was amongst the first created beings, and he is teaching this prayer now to the Prachetas. So this opens up a very interesting point. The point here is that one should learn a prayer which will help one to remain Krishna consciousness while one is engaged in his many duties. I think we as members of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness in its Western branch are all to various degrees heavily engaged either in spreading Krishna consciousness or maintaining a temple with deity worship and Sunday feasts and regular spiritual programs. So we are heavily engaged in this. It's not just a little engagement, it's very much. And we have to see, just like the devatas and rishis who were asked to create, how we can remain in constant contact with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because only then everything will be successful. This principle that one must be in contact with Krishna while one does his activities in order to be successful is actually one of the points of this this amazing prayer which Lord Shiva has just sung. You know, in verse 67, he prays, "My dear Lord, my dear Lord, any learned person knows that unless he worships you, his entire life is spoiled." Well, Prabhupada says in the other purport which we just read, one's life is actually wasted if one is not in contact with Krishna. So any learned person knows that unless he worships you, his entire life is spoiled, finished. Knowing this, how could he give up worshipping your lotus feet? How is it possible? Even our father and spiritual master, Lord Brahma, unhesitatingly worshipped you, and the 14 Manus followed in his footsteps. No? Lord Shiva is referring to this discussion which took place before he chanted this song. No? This is a very, very important principle which each one of us needs to know, that when we become so engaged in our lives, what happens is the mode of passion will take over, and will lead us into what is called a passionate, a huge endeavor. And the result of this huge endeavor, or the stress in which we are, is always exhaustion. That means we are doing with high energy. We come into the stress zone, we do, keep on doing, high energy, but then whoop, we go down. Where do we go next? Tamagun. What's the symptom of tamagun? Discouragement, depression, exhaustion, sleep. No? And you can't connect with people any longer. You become withdrawn. You become easily irritated and lose your temper and so on. So the only way out of this, my dear devotees, and I think you all know what I'm talking about, is if while you are in this active mode, means serving Krishna, creating something with your energy, you must stay in contact with Krishna, in a conscious contact with Krishna. That's the only way out of this vicious circle, over-endeavor and then depression and tama. We all know this, no? Do you know what I'm talking about? Do you not know what I'm talking about? Nritya Gopal is a manager. He knows. Yeah. We all know. Gaurahari knows for sure. Paramatma Krishna, no, you also know this. Very bad circle, very bad thing. It destroys our spiritual life. And what we have to do in these situations really is, here we learn prayers. We have to learn a regular prayer. Now you might ask, well, please, Maharaji, is there some evidence in the Bhagavatam that this regular prayer can help us to remain constantly in touch with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, despite our heavy engagement? Yes, there is a great example of someone who actually had really experienced this going down into the mode of ignorance. It was someone who was cursed, actually, to take on the body of an elephant, which is really, I mean, when you are in an elephant body, you are really, many of your abilities are taken away from you, your human abilities. I'm speaking of Maharaj, or King Indradumna, who had, after he had reigned or ruled, gone to the mountains. He had renounced his kingdom and engaged in meditation. And there he had a very unfortunate spiritual accident. He did not respect one saint who came with his disciples. I believe it was Agastya. Was it Agastya? Yes, it was King. It was the Rishi Agastya, and he did not offer obeisances to the great saint. And the saint felt, this is a king, and he's still so proud. He's now meditating, but he's still so proud. He did not offer obeisances. I will curse him, and he cursed him to become an elephant. Rishis do this because they know suffering is often the fastest way to God. There is one statement. It comes actually from the Christian tradition, which says, suffering is the speediest chariot to God. Leid ist die schnellste Kutsche zu Gott. Because at that time the conditioned soul knows I'm helpless, I have to, the suffering is too much for me to bear, I have to turn to Krishna as my ultimate shelter. So this king was cursed to become an elephant. He became an elephant. And you might think, well, this is the end of his spiritual life, because an elephant cannot do puja and sadhana and so on and so forth. He's an elephant. But you must know that this was not the case. Now, Prabhupada writes, where Gajendra was in, when he became the elephant Gajendra, and when he was in danger by a crocodile which attacked him, he remembered a stotra, a prayer he had chanted in his previous life. Prabhupada writes, to enable one to achieve perfection, Krishna gives one the chance to remember him again. This is proved here. For although the king of the elephants, Gajendra, was put in danger, this was a chance for him to remember his previous devotional activities so that he could immediately be rescued by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then Prabhupada makes this very amazing conclusion that we all must learn to chant one prayer perfectly, he says, because we might also need it at a time of great danger, and so on. He says, Prabhupada says, it is imperative, therefore, imperative in, is maybe an English word not all of you know, it's compulsory, or it's an absolute must, therefore, that all devotees in Krishna consciousness practice chanting some mantra. Certainly one should chant the Hare Krishna mantra, which is the Maha mantra or great mantra. And also one should practice chanting Chintamani Prakara Sadmasu or the Nrsimha Stotra. Iti ito Nrsimha parato Nrsimho yato yato yami tato Nrsimha. Every devotee should practice in order to chant some mantra perfectly, so that even though he may be imperfect in spiritual consciousness in this life, in his next life, he will not forget Krishna consciousness, even if he becomes an animal. Of course, a devotee should try to perfect his Krishna consciousness in this life, for simply by understanding Krishna and his instructions, even after giving up this body, one can return home, back to Godhead. But even if there is some fall down, practice of Krishna consciousness never goes in vain. For example, Ajamil, in his boyhood, practiced chanting the name of Narayan under the direction of his father. But later in his youth, he fell down and became a drunkard, woman hunter, rogue and thief. Nonetheless, because of chanting the name of Narayan for the purpose of calling his son, whom he had named Narayan, he became advanced, even though he was involved in sinful activities. Therefore, we should not forget the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra under any circumstances. It will help us in the greatest danger, as we find in the life of Gajendra. So just go into this situation. Indradyumna Maharaj, or King Indradyumna, was now in the body of an elephant. He was attacked by a dangerous crocodile. And because he had learned in his previous life a mantra, this mantra came to him. It's like when we are in day. I was a little just 2 weeks ago remembering this. You know, Gokrishna, Manuram, and myself went with a canoe into a beautiful river because we needed some peace after giving 4 lectures a day and kirtans and just not having time enough to breathe. So we said, let's go for a few hours and relax. And we were in this river. All of a sudden, I was chanting in the canoe, and the others were also chanting supremely attentive rounds, as always. We were floating down the river. All of a sudden, on the bank, there was this huge alligator who was basking in the sun rays. It was a huge thing. It was from here up to the pillar. It really looked like, wow, this is a... when he saw us, well-nourished Vaishnavas, he went into the river. It is very slowly, carefully, and he looked at us. And I knew he just needed to come under the canoe and just go up, then we would all fall in the river, and the rest would be history in ISKCON. But he was well fed, apparently, and we didn't see him again by Krishna's mercy. And I remembered at that time Gajendra, who was attacked by a crocodile. And I immediately said, Hare Krishna! And then I was informed it's not good by Manu. Manoram told us, no, they were very, let's be very peaceful. No one should move now. You know, and we drifted by on our canoe. So I remembered at that time what Prabhupada describes here. In danger, you remember the Lord and you call out. But Prabhupada makes here the point, learn some Sanskrit stotras, like what are the 2 examples which he gave in the purport? You remember? Chintamani prayers and the Nishinga stotras, yes. And similarly, there are other prayers which are given in the Bhagavatam, like this chanting the song of Shiva. It's very, very powerful to do this. A devotee of Krishna whose mind is always absorbed in him, says text 74. A devotee of Lord Krishna whose mind is always absorbed in him, who with great attention and reverence chants this stotra or prayer, will achieve the greatest perfection of life without any delay. No? So this is an encouragement for devotees to chant regularly these prayers. I have personally made the experience in my own Krishna conscious practice that I'm chanting certain prayers. This is one of them. I chanted for a few years. I always chanted yearly this particular prayer. Of course, the Brahma Sanghita. It really immediately, my dear devotees, puts you in contact with Krishna. It puts you in contact with Krishna because here you You are taking help from these great personalities who prayed these prayers by listening to these great, great, great personalities, explaining their heart, revealing their hearts to Krishna. You are touched in your heart. A very well-known prayer is also the Kunti Stava, the stotra, the prayers of Queen Kunti. You know, where she prays just very affectionately, "My Lord, please let my affection flow like the Ganga, without any obstacle towards you." No? And or who prays, "Send me these miseries again and again, because by remembering these miseries, by miseries, I turn to you. You know, I leave everything behind and turn to me." These prayers, my dear devotees, is a great, great chance to improve your Krishna consciousness and immediately make your prayer come in contact with Krishna. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati talked about that a devotee should learn three prayers. Gita. I know one of them is the Sharanagati prayers of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He really wanted his disciples to learn these prayers and to regularly sing these prayers, because anyone who has chanted these prayers has immediately felt very much the shelter of Krishna. Who of you knows the Sharanagati prayers? Some of you have read it. It's really very nice as a regular practice. Because as I was earlier saying, when we are very active, the mode of passion can come, and then we are entering a stress zone and we are not remembering Krishna. As a result, we fall down from this level and come to the mode of ignorance. Now, the Sharanagati prayers and other prayers, even if we chant them when we feel dumb and lifeless and less spiritually advanced, they will immediately lift us up and bring us to Krishna. Krishna hears the prayers of someone who surrenders to him, and the Sharanagati prayers teach us really how to do Sharanagati, or surrender means taking shelter in him. I can only highly recommend it. Now we are living in the month of Purushottam. It is, I do not know, it's 3 days after the Kirtan Mela, end of the Kirtan Mela. It's still 3 days more. And it is recommended during this month to chant certain prayers. One is not really a prayer. It's the 15th chapter of the Gita. And the second is, it's called the Jagannath Ashtakam, you know, prayers to the Lord Purushottam Krishna. And if you do this, you don't even, you know, if you do this, please, if you feel, "Oh no, Purushottam month, I didn't do anything," no problem. You did service and you chant the holy name, and Prabhupada did not insist that every one of us follows the Purushottam Vrata. But those who like to have more contact with Krishna, they take every excuse to do it, or every opportunity to do this. And what happens when you do this is you immediately feel the soothing shelter of the Lord, soothing, erleichternd of the Lord. This is a very, 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 very wonderful. Only when we are you know, we go through this world and we look, there's so much, so much this and that, but when we go through the world, we are often, we look for relief, you know. But it's better if you look for shelter at the lotus feet of Krishna. Therefore, regular chanting of prayers will help you. I will end here and see if you have any questions about this. Gaura Hari.
I'm thinking when we are doing the activities and suddenly the mood of passion gets through it, usually at that time we don't have the strength to think, oh, let me pray, or let me think. We are just like overwhelmed by the wave and don't get any opportunity to rectify for a long time. So how to do?
I think we all know what Gaura Hari speaks about. When we are so overwhelmed, then our memory leaves us. In the Sadhu Sangha festival, I spoke with Bada Hari about this. He asked me about this, or we spoke about it. I said, it's very fortunate if you notice that you're overwhelmed by the mode of passion, because then only you can do something about it. And I gave an example in chanting. Your good fortune starts when you notice my mind is distracted. Because then only can you actively do something about it. Sometimes we think, oh, my mind is distracted, how bad. No, how good that you notice it. Congratulations. That's the beginning now. Most of us are always distracted and we don't even notice it, how we are distracted. So when you are overwhelmed by the mode of passion, it takes one very simple skill to notice it. That is, you must become honest with yourself. You must be a little bit conscious and honest. This has happened in the past. It might happen again, you know. And then once it happens, you will see it. An honest and sincere person will recognize when the weeds start to grow. This is from Chaitanya Charitamrita. It takes a sincerity of heart, and then you notice, whoop, I'm in the mode of passion. Something which helps, if you say you don't notice, you can ask maybe a trusted devotee next to you, with whom you do service, Prabhu, can you please help me and point out when you notice that I'm getting covered, you know. That's one thing. So it really first starts with noticing that you're overwhelmed. And either you notice it yourself when you're sincere, or another devotee tells you. See, the problem is we don't notice it when we become overwhelmed, and that's where we have to work. You know? It's almost like when someone falls asleep while doing japa, and you go, Prabhuji, oh Prabhuji, I'm not sleeping! I'm absolutely not sleeping! You are sleeping! He doesn't notice that he's sleeping. That's the problem. And the Bigger problem is if someone tells you you're sleeping and then you fight with that person. That's the versus problem. So it's very simple. When you really want help, if you really want it, I have found out very few people want help. That makes me often work less in my sacred duty of I have free time. No one wants to be corrected any longer nowadays. If you can't notice this, ask someone to tell you, do you notice something, and then accept what that person tells you, and therefore choose wisely whom you want. It must be someone whom you can trust, and then you can do the work. What I found, however, much easier is to do precautionary work. That is, before it happens that you are overwhelmed, you should have a regular program. That's why we have sadhana. And when you do your sadhana, you should just do it properly. That means this is now sadhana time. This is not thinking time, not worrying time. This is my time with Krishna. And then usually you will be vaccinated, impfed, or you will be prepared that you don't come into this zone again and again. But if you come into the zone where you are not satisfied, then either you notice it yourself, that's the easiest. If you can't, then have contact. Why are we so unconscious about our lives? I think the problem is very deep. Something in us still resists to take full shelter in Krishna. It's our conditioned nature, which we have accepted since thousands of lives. And it's this conditioned nature which constantly boycotts and sabotages our attempts in sadhana and in our spiritual life. So what to do when we are overwhelmed? Notice it, that you are overwhelmed. And if you can't notice, find someone who can help you and tell you. And when he tells you, don't protest. And then do something where you sincerely turn to Krishna. I have personally noted that this turning to Krishna really, really works. There was a time in the German Yatra where our whole Yatra was in danger to be closed. It was a second time. The first time was by the government. The second time was by the financial department of the government. It was so intense that those who knew about it didn't want to tell the devotees so that they wouldn't panic, a second time. The first panic was 74, but this was later. And I remember we talked with the responsible older devotees, and they asked me what to do, and I said, now only Krishna can help. And then they asked me, can you please pray? And I said, okay. Then I prayed the Sharanagati prayers and the Nrisimha Kavacha regularly for a long time, every morning. And I don't think it was only because, I'm a small person. The others also prayed. But all we know is that all of a sudden everything changed, unexplainable, and those who wanted to close us down became and understood that we made some mistakes because we didn't know better, but we didn't have a bad intention. So prayer really works. And even if we are really down, if there's a really dangerous situation, and the danger you speak of forgetting Krishna, becoming overwhelmed and becoming gripped by passion and ignorance, that's a very great danger for our spiritual life. It's very dangerous. That can be overcome by praying these ancient prayers, which work, which have a very much power. Therefore, when you read the end of the Shiva Gita, there are one blessing after the other. It's really amazing, you know, what this prayer is supposed to do. Notice. Take sincerity. And maybe also some inner security, some being secure inside that Krishna loves me despite all my mistakes. So it doesn't matter if someone shows me here are points which are very good. If you can improve them, it will help you very much that we don't become irritated when we hear this. Because we feel insecure now and Krishna loves us with all our mistakes. No problem. Krishna doesn't have a place in his heart. Especially since Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it's causeless love. That's the big revolution of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You don't have to do this Brahminical rituals. You don't have to do this. Just chant the holy name of the Lord Krishna in a humble mood, and love of Godhead will come to you. This is an almost undeserved gift of love of Godhead. He doesn't speak about this qualification, that qualification. Just chant in a humble state of mind. And then love comes into our barren heart. Here you can find first, ignorance is removed by chanting. Then wisdom comes, divine wisdom comes instead. And then from there, what does it say? Who can read this verse, please, for us?
Holy name, when you start to appear on the horizon of the heart, you dispel the darkness of ignorance.
You dispel the darkness of ignorance, yes.
Bestow divine wisdom and then awake pure devotion.
Yeah, you bestow divine wisdom.
But it's pure devotion, we come to realize the transcendental Lord Hari.
And then we get pure devotion, and after that, realization. I really, if you asked me, Gaurahari, because this is a deep question, and I know Gaurahari since some time, I know what is what is behind the question, the individual effort of an individual to become Krishna conscious. I have placed, now I will give a personal answer, all my hopes in the holy name, because see, this is the holy name acts on you, but therefore, this is what we have to insist on. You have to learn how to chant it properly. And you have to take all the instructions from the Shastras. I'm always overwhelmed. I'm giving everywhere these retreats. How little faith there is in the holy name in our movement. It's overwhelming. I'm sometimes asking, let me just ask you, could you maybe just accept theoretically that the holy name is Krishna? I know, just theoretically, it's different to understand. Or can we maybe just theoretically accept that Krishna is real? just theoretically. I'm not saying practically. Let's start with the theoretical understanding. There is God, and He is represented in His holy name. No? Can we just look at this, please? And not just in the lecture, where everyone goes, yes, 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 at the moment we leave the lecture. No, 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 no. You know, just can we keep this? This what we are ready to believe. My devotees, our theoretical beliefs have to become a deep, abiding faith. Faith is different from a belief. Faith is what remains when everything else goes to hell. Let me say it in a more nice way. Faith is what remains when everything else, all your concepts, all your beliefs, all your ideas leave you and you are in doubt. Then this deep faith must be there. Oh Krishna, you are in the holy name. I take shelter in you now. And many have not yet come to this type of faith. For them, these things are still in the belief category, the concept category. So try to take shelter in the holy name and try to learn to chant it in a way which works best for you, where you can chant with absorption. Hare Krishna. I will end here. It is 9:05, and the day comes where we can now experience doing our activities but staying in contact with Krishna. Yes, we will try. We will try. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sisi Gonitai ki jai, Gaura Premanandi Hari Hari Om.